Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. In 1874, the U.S. government sent General George Custer on an expedition into the Black Hills to find a location for a new army fort and investigate the area's natural resources. The confirmation of gold drew thousands of white settlers into the hills in violation of the 1868 Treaty of Fort Laramie, which granted ownership of the Black Hills to the Sioux Nation. The expedition was one of the defining moments in South Dakota history, and on Saturday, the Custer County Historical Society observes the 140th anniversary of the Custer Expedition. There'll be presentations, site visits, and more. Photographer and author Paul Horsted is one of the presenters. He's the co-author of the books Exploring with Custer and Crossing the Plains with Custer, and he joins us on the line. And Paul, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Hey, Carl. Thanks a lot. Great to be here.
When was it that the Custer Expedition first arrived in South Dakota, and how long was it in the Black Hills?
Well, basically, you know, back then it was still Dakota territory. We were still joined with present-day North Dakota, so they departed from a place called Fort Lincoln, which is on the Missouri River there across from Bismarck, North Dakota, which was sort of the jumping-off point at that time. That's where the railroad ended, and they departed there on July 2nd, and 1874, arrived on the edge of the Black Hills, I believe it was about July 21st, so it, you know, took them about 3 weeks to get here. And then they were in the Black Hills the better part of 2 weeks, you know, winding through the canyons and forests with this wagon train of, you know, 110 wagons and 1,000 people that were with Custer, and soldiers and civilians, and had their adventures here, discovered gold right near where the town of Custer is today. They were on their way back home again by August 15th. They camped up near Bear Butte and another 2 weeks back to Fort Lincoln. So they were on the trail about 2 months and in the Black Hills 2.5-3 weeks of that time.
And this was not a military expedition?
Oh, it was certainly a military expedition. It was sanctioned, you know, by the, there was a discussion about it in the White House at that time, and General Sheridan authorized it. And you know, specifically, I think you mentioned they were looking for the site of a fort down here. You know, the area was just sort of a blank spot on the map, the Black Hills were at that time, because they were, you know, jealously guarded under that treaty by the Lakota Sioux and their Cheyenne allies. But I think this troubled, you know, the higher echelons, that we didn't really know what was here. And I think they could maybe see that possibly there was going to be conflict with the Sioux, and needed to have the lay of the land. But certainly underneath all of the official rationale, there's this discussion of whether gold would be found in the Black Hills, and this was being openly discussed in the newspapers of the time in Sioux City and, you know, up in Bismarck and other places. Would Custer's men find gold while they were here in the Black Hills?
And there were reporters that were embedded in the expedition?
Yes, that's right. You know, we're so fortunate. We have about 15 sources, you know, people who were right there when all this stuff was happening, and five of those are newspaper reporters who, from the Chicago and New York newspapers, as well as Bismarck and St. Paul, Minnesota papers. And, you know, it does go to show this was a national sort of interest that was going on with this expedition even before it departed. So their records, their stories that they filed, and even we have one of the diaries from one of the reporters, you know, are full of information, which my co-author, Ernie Graffi, has woven into a narrative, you know, that goes through our books and just makes it basically a day-by-day account. You know, you can follow this trail and read exactly what was happening every day they were passing through this area leading up to the discovery of gold.
So you can follow the Custer Trail today, 140 years later, pretty closely?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, thanks to an engineer with them, a brilliant man named Captain Ludlow, who did the mapping. He had a team of guys working with him. They were taking latitude and longitude readings of many of the campsites and sketching this trail, and we were able to find his original map in the National Archives a few years ago, and you know, it shows literally the sites of their camps as well as the meander of the trail that they were following. And thanks also to these photographs that were the first pictures taken in the Black Hills in 1874 by William Henry Illingworth, and that was sort of my specialty on this, was to try to re-photograph these places. And you know, those are also obviously a valuable clue to where they were and where the camps were and what the layouts of the camps was. And one of the things this weekend that we'll be looking at is there's a picture that shows very clearly where Custer's tent is, and he has a different tent than everybody else, and there, you know, lines of tents and wagons all around it, of course, in this campsite east of the town of Custer where it was located. And so we can actually put a sign down and say, you know, this is the spot, and we'll be doing that temporarily for the program this weekend.
Well, one of the things that's amazing when you look at the before and after pictures and exploring with Custer is that some of the trees and the rocks and they're still there. So some of these places are pretty easy to pinpoint.
Absolutely. It's a remarkable story of very little change in some cases and then a lot of change in others. But you're absolutely right. There's a famous shot of Castle Creek Valley above Deerfield Lake, if people know that area, the Black Hills, where you can hike up now and see this tree stump, or a couple of them actually, that are in the picture that was taken in 1874, and they're in exactly the same position today, as well as the rock formations. And that is really a fun part of this, to visit these places. And we do have those mapped in the books, of course, and GPS coordinates and so on. And I hear from a lot of folks who have, taken a copy of the book up to that overlook to look at that spot as well as the others, and it's a lot of fun to hear that.
Well, we've only got a couple of minutes left here. Sure. I want to make sure that we touch on some of the things that are happening this weekend. They all begin, what, about 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, this Saturday, September 6th, in Custer, South Dakota. We're meeting at the high school, which is the new building on the east side of town, and this is a fundraiser for the Custer County Historical Society. There's a bunch of volunteers, myself included, putting it together, but they'll be selling tickets, which are $20 for adults, and 12 and under is free. And there'll be a program then, which I'm very excited. Both of my co-authors on our two books, Ernest Graffy and John Nelson, and myself will be doing our own areas of interest on this slide program. And we haven't been together, I think, in 5 years for this kind of thing. So we're really looking forward to that. And we'll be signing books and so on also out at the campsite. So after the live program at the theater for an hour or so, we'll all caravan out to the Custer campsite east of town, about 3 miles. And with the permission of a couple of our landowner friends out there, we'll have tents set up and gold panning demonstrations and reenactors and the book signing and some other fun stuff for anybody who is participating in the tour. And there's information at the Custer County Museum website, which is 1881courthousemuseum.com, or even better, if you want to call and make a reservation, the number is 605-673-2443. And that number is on their website, of course, too, 1881courthousemuseum.com. But it should be a lot of fun. And anybody who has any interest in Black Hills history or this part of it, it's kind of a, well, we just don't do this very often, let me put it that way. And the 150th may be the next one, who knows. But we're really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a fun week, or a fun Saturday, I should say.
Well, Paul Horsted, for you, what do you find so fascinating about this period in history, and particularly the Custer Expedition?
Yeah, there's just so many layers to it. You know, the photographs, of course, I'm fascinated by as a reef photographer, and I do this other places now in national parks and other places around South Dakota. I love that aspect, but I'm really interested in just what the common man on this expedition was doing. We just uncovered a diary in our last book from a guy who was a wagon driver, and he talks about not being able to find enough water and drinking from the same water holes that the mules were drinking from. He was so thirsty, and the main thing, I guess, for me is I live north of Custer. I just have a house up here like a lot of people, and I can look out from my driveway and see some rocks that are in a picture that Illingworth took in 1874 every morning when I go out to get the mail or whatever. And so the idea of history in my backyard, I think, is kind of what got me going when I realized this huge wagon train and all these people had filed by almost my front door. I mean, a half a mile away, I guess. That's what really got me started on it. And it's a story we keep finding new information, and it's just kind of a continuing research project. But, of course, our books have most of that. I'm grateful to our readers, of course, as well, who let us continue to do this kind of work. We couldn't do it without them. So it's a multi-level thing, but I sure enjoy speaking about it, and hope we see a bunch of folks out in Custer this Saturday. It'll be, I think, a lot of fun and very informative.
Well, Paul Horsted, I hope you do have a great time on Saturday, and thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us again on Dakota Midday.
I appreciate it, Carl. Thanks. We'll talk to you again.